Thank you. Amen. In Matthew 16, and I think what we'll talk about will be very, very, very helpful in the processing of church. I looked up, I do a lot of looking up, do a lot of etymologies. That's all it means to study words. Close the door. Etymology, study of words. I try to find out where they come from. We know that the Bible, the King James Version, is not the original text of the Holy Written Word. The Old Testament was written in Arabic. New Testament was written in Greek. Paul decided to write most of it in Greek because Greek was a more universal language so that it could translate to other things easier. I've said this before, but the Hebrew and the Aramaic language, it's a very difficult language to learn or to pick up on its own because it's very cultural. You ever see them people joking about like some of the African tribe and they go, right, right? And then that's funny, but that's a cultural thing. They really talk that way because it's something about the sounds. Okay, so even when you hear them talk. So we know that it's translated. So I do a lot of study of words. I study the word church. It comes from the word ecclesia. You know, you're familiar to the word Ecclesiastes in the Bible. People think they know what that means. They think they know the whole situation. They think they know the whole thing about it. Really, it's just an assembly. So we hear ecclesia, and really, really in the beginning of it, it was an assembly of people called out for a civil assembly. So you just call people out, and let's get together, and let's talk about something. Later on in years and through I don't know, evolution or whatever it is, it became an assembly of church. So now we do church. We come every Sunday. Whenever your Bible study, we come, we do like that. And it became that type of thing. That really what God said, y'all assemble every Sunday. He didn't say that, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all with me? He said, y'all better have Bible study. No, just, but it's cool though, because it's good to assemble. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's good to assemble. It's good to come together and bring together because what happens, and it says this in the beginning of this book, what happens, a normal place becomes a special place. All right. Now, I just walked in the sanctuary just now. Just now, just a minute ago. I walked in the sanctuary. I didn't feel no goosebumps. I didn't feel the angel tap me on my shoulder because they staying in the temple. No. That was done away with when Jesus said it is finished. Then the veil ripped. They said from the top to the bottom. Open this thing up. All right. So now we didn't have to go into the temples just to get a word from the Lord,
right,
or to get a move from the Lord, right? So I walk in there, I walked through there all day today. I was on the phone, all kinds of stuff, just walked through there. No disrespect to the house, but I walked through there. I didn't feel any goosebumps, didn't feel the glory coming through the sky from the heaven and dropping off. I didn't fall out of the spirit when I was walking through because it was a normal place. But a normal place becomes a special place. This room wasn't nothing until you got here.
Yeah, right.
I pass this room every day. I work here, I pass this room every day. I don't feel no nothing. No, this room ain't nothing until you walked in. Ain't no presence. The presence of God is here. Yeah, because you here. Listen to me. You got to get with me. The presence of God is there because you're there. See, the presence of God is always where you are, but you're just unaware. Where do you think your spirit came from? You thought you something separate than what God is? You thought you individually separated from where God is and who he is? No. What can separate us from the love of God? Right? So now the presence of God, right? And if you realize that you came with the presence, then when the presence shows up in the room, right? There's a spirit within, the spirit upon, right? But what happens is a normal place, and I'm going to say this again, a normal place becomes a special place because we gather in his name. Are y'all understanding? This is why you'll see some moves in a gathering, in a congregation, that you may not see otherwise. Not that you can't get that done, because you're your own congregation. Come on, say I am
my own congregation.
Question, you ever talk to yourself? Yeah. No, listen, somebody told me this one time. The only difference between you and the crazy guy that you thought was a crazy guy on the side of the road that was talking and yelling stuff out is that you don't say it out your mouth.
Yeah.
There's no difference. Y'all know that stuff y'all be saying in y'all head all day long.
Right.
If you said it out loud, they'd be like, man, this man tripping. Get over. Let me sit on the other side of the bus right quick. This guy, right? You did. But how many times you talk to yourself? How many times you convince yourself? How many times fears come upon you? You told yourself to calm down, because great is he that is. So you're preaching to the. Are y'all understanding me? You're preaching to the congregation. See, I need you. Reason I'm breaking all of these concepts of what we think church is, because the enemy has wanted us to think that it was made out of a building, a brick and mortar, and it's not. Right? But there's no disrespect to that place, because that place becomes a special place when we're gathered together in his name. But you're gathered together in his name. And no disrespect to a Sunday morning worship service or training the word about. No disrespect to what I'm about to say. Have you ever been to a sporting event? Huh? What kind of event y'all went to? Just yell out. Just football game. Anybody been to a professional football game? Right? College game, right? All right, high school, all right. Anybody ever watched the game on TV? Okay. And it's pretty exciting on TV. But when you're in that crowd, you go to the game, then they start, then the wave come. You see the wave coming around, like, almost my turn, right? And then somebody scored, and I was in LA a few weeks ago, and I went to a game, and I'd never been to a college game before. Never been to a college game in my life. I watched a lot of them, never been. And I'm in, and then people just, and I'm like, what is wrong with these people? They so excited. I'm like, this ain't even my team, but I'm here, like, what up? Let's go. Then they, and I'm like, yeah, I'm yelling. I don't even know what I'm yelling at, but I'm just, because the energy. Then I might be chilling, but the person next to me turned up. Then they talking about football. Then they like going ham about what. Yeah, see, if they pick him, what they need to do last week, they didn't run the ball like they're supposed to run it last week. But if they run it like they're supposed to run it, I'm hearing this, and I'm like, all right. Oh, yeah, you're right. So you about to run the ball like that. And now I'm all in the motion. And then we all in the energy of just everybody being together. Right. Then I walked. What happened was I had a friend there, and so she was able to bring me there early, so I was able to walk down on the field. And I got down there before a lot of people got there, so the arena wasn't that packed. So we walked in, we walk on the field, and there's a level of energy. Because, you know, we think we fly, walk on the field, and we try to wave at the cameras and stuff like that, right? But then, people started coming in there. Then, they said it was a sold-out crowd, but it didn't look sold out. Because everybody wasn't there. We was there a little earlier, but then the people started coming in there. Then the announcer started, and the jumbotron come on. Right, and the big screen come on. And now, and the football players down in the tunnel, and they all yelling, they about to run out, and everything. Then the dance came run out, and then the band out there marching around and playing. And then the energy picks up so high that a normal place that was once empty and was not charged with your charge became a special place. Not taking anything from worship service. I know it ain't no football game. I understand. But do you understand what I'm saying? So now the assembly becomes a special place because of you. Without you, there is no assembly. And I want you to write the word assembly down and circle it. Assembly, because the root word of assembly is a symbol. That means putting something together. Are y'all with me? The assembly, or assembling something, is putting something together. Putting the pieces together to the way that it makes a bigger piece, a bigger whole, like a bigger mass of whatever it is. So now a normal place becomes a special place. And now we're all in the room on one accord. You can call God for yourself. You can call on the Lord. Anybody ever call on the Lord by yourself? Yeah, y'all call. Yeah, you can call on the Lord. But there's another thing when you're in the room. You calling on him, and the one next to you calling on him. Another one on the other side calling on you. And even if you ain't calling like you should call, they calling a little harder for you. Right? Like the process of it, right? And now it becomes iron sharpens iron, right? The scripture, right? And it becomes a point to where the vibe picks up and the expectation picks up. Jesus said, he asked the man said, come help. He said, you believe I could do this? The man said, I believe. He said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Right? According to your expectation, hope, make it not a shame. According to your expectation. So people come, I have a problem with people that come to the assembly. I don't know what you came to the assembly for if you didn't come to sit on the edge of your seat. I don't know what you came to the assembly for if you didn't come to hear something extraordinary past what you've heard before. Because now you're blocking the expectation of those who came expecting something. You get it? So now the normal place becomes a special place. But you got to remember why? Because of. All right? You brought the church to church. Huh?
Yes, sir.
You bring the church with you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We ain't going to have church. I am. You get it? So I bring the church with me. I wanted to touch on this a couple classes ago, but I didn't get a chance to do it. But there's a specialty in us together. And it's not that there's dimensions and levels to this thing, right? And it's not that, two or three of you to get touch anything, right? Right? Two or three of you gather my name, then I'm in the midst, right? Well, you know, that's you too. Two or three of y'all, your spirit, soul, but all right, two or three of y'all, right? Was one, right? But then, you know, two of you agree is touching anything, right? And so, but it doesn't mean that I have to have you to agree with me. Because if you don't agree with me, I'm going to agree with me. And we're going to get it going. But it's cool to get you to solicit your prayers. They call it solicit your prayers, right? It's cool that you're praying for me, right? But there's something about the unit, the unity. Are y'all with me? Ephesians 4. I know I told you Matthew 16, but Ephesians 4. Everything that we do, and I think that many times in the process of being churchy and religious and traditional, we miss the power that is the church. I don't have time to go there, but he said, you know, who men say that I am? Some say thou lies, some say John the Baptist. He said, but who you say? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, blessed thou, Son of John, flesh and blood not revealed this. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, and thou art. Remember that? You remember that? And upon this rock, which is the revelation of the Christ, I'll build my church. So we can't forget that. Sometimes we get lost in the ritual. We start taking communion, we forget why we're taking it. We start praying and we don't know why we're praying. We start doing things that it becomes a ritual. The number one thing you have to watch is monotone. Being ritual, being monotone, just doing the same old thing just because you're going through the motions. Ain't no movement in emotions. Y'all heard that statement? There's no movement in emotions. So you can't just go through the motions and think you're making movement. It's a trick. All right? So we did. All right, so Ephesians 4. Unit. Everybody say unity.
Unity.
Everybody say unit.
Unit.
Then say unity.
Unity.
Okay, God, I'll do that. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 for a lot this semester. But I have to teach you a couple things. You know, the scripture says there's a way that seemeth right to man, right? But then thereof is what? Okay, so let's break that down real simple, right? What is that saying? I'm listening. What's that saying? I'm listening to y'all. What is that saying? Okay. All right. Come on, somebody else. Okay, that's good. Without a personality. Principle without personality. If there's no personality, there's no power. You get it? See, I said it in my Living by Book class, every principle has to be connected to a person. If you cannot connect it to a person, it's not real. The Word was made and dwelt among us. He said that for a reason. Because the Word without flesh is inanimate. It can't function. It can't do anything. Mm-hmm. See, the power is in the person. The power is in the personality. You get it? Remember this, and I said this before. Y'all probably remember from last class, but when you say in the name of Jesus, you mean in the character of Jesus, in the personality of Jesus, in the person as Christ. So now there's a way that seems, and it's tricky because it seems right. See, that's the tricky part about it. The tree of knowledge of good and evil seemed like a good tree. Like if I didn't know all the stuff we know about religion right now and all the story we're talking about, we mad at Adam and Eve all these years, the serpent and Lucifer, look what you did, and the cursed tree and all that. If we didn't know anything at all about that, well, you tell me, man, I'm going to give you something to give you some knowledge between good and evil. We all eating. That's why I can't blame Eve that much. I can't get, because that sounded good. It didn't say the knowledge of, it didn't say the tree of getting off in the sin and getting your feet dirty with the mud. It ain't say none of that.
Right.
It say the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that sounds kind of dope. That's like, yeah, yo, I need some knowledge of good and evil. Well, what is evil? I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like something cool to know. Did you know the evil and live is backwards? Like live and evil, you flip them around? Huh? Trick, all right. You flip that thing around, and now you ain't living life because you know too much. You realize people know a lot and they ain't living life? I watch a lot of Animal Planet. I don't know, y'all, that might not be y'all thing. But it's all good. But I learned so much about life. 33. I learned so much about life. And one thing about creation is it does what it does. You know when the weather's changing. Like, you know when fall comes, stuff start happening. Yes, that's your season. Now you're going to say, yes. Right? Right? Fall. That's your season. It's your season, right? Take that. Take that and run with mine, too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Mine, too. Take that. I ain't let none of that pass by me. Amen. My season. Summer too. All that. All of you. All of mine. We're going to keep going. But you can tell when fall comes around. And we're in Louisiana, so it's a little different, right? But you kind of know what's up, right? You can kind of tell that life does what it does. It doesn't, look at the flowers. No, nobody, he said in Matthew 6, Jesus started talking about it. He said they don't toil, they don't work, but they still do what they're going to do. Do we feed the birds, right? And I also watch Animal Planet, so I did like, I got to go through a quick story, right? Like moose, you know, moose with the big antlers? You ever seen moose with the big antlers? Did you know they were covered with fur at first? They're covered with fur. They're like fur, like just like his fur, they're covered with fur. But it comes to a point of maturity when he matures, ready to mate, trying to find a mate, right? And now he takes his antlers with the furry antlers, which we didn't know because we saw the regular ones at first, right? And he just know what time it is. And he begins to rub them on the trees and rub them on the rocks and everything. It's bloody because of skin. But he rubs them down until it's time, until all of it is clear, because that's his show of his maturity. But he just does it without nobody going out there and saying, hey, let me scrape this off of your, hey, you need to scrape this off your antlers. We just know when it's time. And the creation, we are the only part of creation that doesn't do it that way. The eagle, I'm sorry, Jenna, but the eagle, right? The mama know when it's time. So she begins to take the little the feathers off and everything, and now the thorns need to start sticking, you know. Because it's time to get out of the nest. Right. Time to get out. I'm going to make it uncomfortable for you. I'm going to take a few more out today. You ain't going to have no room. You can't sit over there no more. I'm going to take these out. Now you can't sit over there. Now you ain't got nowhere to sit up. I got to jump. I'm out. She'll drop you too. She'll push you off of there. And for some reason, you just know it's time to fly. What we'll do, because we're so smart. We're the highest intellectual creatures there are. What we do is we'll go to school for flying. That's what we would do. We go get a book on flying. And we learn everything about flying and never fly. Come on, y'all. We'll learn all the technicalities, and then we'll start telling people. Then we'll preach it. We'll start a church on it. The church of the flyers. And then we'll start telling everybody how to fly. And you scared to jump. We got knowledge, though. We know what worship do. We know what prayer does. We know that great is he that is in it. We know, you know it, huh? What could that do? Y'all get what I'm saying? And so now, how many things work together for good? How many of them? The bad ones, too? Hold on. What's all? What is all? What is all? Everything is everything. All is all, right? So even that stuff that we don't like or we didn't want to go through or we didn't want to deal with, that thing works together for good. We don't know what the good that is working for. If we were just, I'm come that you might have, not, it didn't say come that you have good. Thanks, God. We're going to write that one down. I'm going to write that down. Write that one down because right down there, I might give one of y'all text something. Listen, so we didn't say, I ain't come that you might have good and you might have abundant good. He said, I think it's John 14 and 6. You got something in your head. I think John 14 and 6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the what? Light. No, I ain't say I'm the way, the truth, and the good. Oh, he keep talking about life. Is that the same life on that tree? Huh? Yeah. Is that same life on that tree? It's life. He's trying to tell us something.
Right.
See, life. See the life. It's just life. Right. Like life happens.
Yeah.
Right? And then we live life. And then knowledge can't give you life, but life can give you knowledge.
Yeah.
I wrote this down the other day just talking to myself. Okay? It's a deception because didn't they say the serpent deceived them?
Yeah.
Didn't they say it's the beginning of deception? Yeah. Right? And so now what they go to? They go get dressed. All of a sudden, now they know how to put clothes together.
Right.
And now they know a new word called naked.
No.
Right? And so, now they got smart. But listen, watch this. I ain't got time to go to this scripture. But if you go back and read Genesis, their knowledge of good and evil evoked one emotion that changed everything.
Yeah.
Fear. And watch this. Before fear, was a misplacement of identity. Because I ain't got time to go to Genesis. Y'all go read Genesis yourself. Y'all know the story, right?
Yeah.
But he said, where y'all at? Not like God don't know where he was.
Right. Right.
Right.
Where y'all at? And he's trying to God is the whole time. And I preached this one time in our service, but I didn't get a chance to get into it like I wanted to. But the whole time God is saying, where are you? He's trying to give you a chance to own up. To you. Oh, I found out something. That repentance and forgiveness is you owning up to your true you. See, the Hebrew word repent really means to change your mind. So when you repent, you're changing your mind from that thing that person that you thought you was, that's why you was over there, whatever, to your true you. So now God says, where are y'all? He's trying to give a chance for changing your mind. Trying to give a chance for repentance. Oh, that's powerful. Thanks, Lord. Right? He's trying to give you an opportunity to come to yourself. Are y'all seeing it? Can I give you a side one on that? I told somebody the other day that majority of people are full of it. We're just full of a bunch of junk. And what we think is getting better is really just clearing the junk out the way. See, you have a lot of theories, a lot of understandings in your mind, a lot of things you picked up from your parents, from your grandparents, stuff that's ingrained in your DNA that you didn't even know why you was acting like that. You might not have ever met your grandfather, but you're acting just like him. What's going on? See, that information is in there. And so it's so much stuff. We can be very hypocritical. And I'm not just talking about hypocritical like you're saying one thing in church that you're doing something else out in the street. No. But you can just be hypocritical. When you say you believe Jesus, how far will you go with that? I wrote down the other day, if you had to give your life for everybody else to have life, would you give it up? No, but I love Jesus. If I say, actually, how many of y'all love Jesus? Hey! How many of y'all want to be like Christ? Hey! Give it up for everybody else. You're going to give yours up for everybody else. See, the hypocrisy is flying through your mind right now. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Me too. Mine too. Don't feel bad. It's okay. It's okay. That's what we're working on. That's why the faith. Faith come by.
Hear
it. See, you need to hear the truth. Now, see, the way to life is really dying. Listen to me. That's the way. But we're fearful because we know too much. We're even fearful because we know, but we really don't know. When last time you been to heaven? Oh. So, cause it's funny how I was asking my class, I said, anybody ready to go? It's funny how, boy, we can't wait to see our King and we can't wait to be glorious. It's so wonderful over there. It's so wonderful and there's no crying. Well, I don't like crying. I don't like feeling pain. You know, anybody like pain? I don't like feeling pain. I embrace it. That was a part of the process. But it feels all good. Well, you ready to go? Let's go. But nobody don't want to go. Why? Because you don't know. Because you're a little worried. is it dead? Then if it is dead, which way am I going? Did I get it right? Now you start praying in tongues. Did I do enough? All right, can I get that's real spill, ain't it? Yeah. That's real talk. You have to be real with yourself. That's real talk. So now, no. So now, where you at? Give you a chance to come to yourself.
Right.
But then when you did come out, you started talking that noise. And you tried, and it sounded smart. Y'all familiar with the story?
Yeah.
Y'all familiar with the story in Jennifer's?
Yeah,
Jennifer, he sounded kind of smart. He was like, yes, I can imagine him saying it with a nice little new beginning, right? All right. Yes, we hid. We hid because we were naked and we were afraid. And I guess they thought God was like, oh, well, listen, don't be afraid. Who told you was naked? He ain't talking about the scary part. Who told you? Because he dealt with identity before he dealt with the emotion.
Yeah.
Y'all write that down. Come on, man. Come on, we're going to do this class over there. So you're going to send it to me. He dealt with the identity before he dealt with the emotion. What do we deal with? Emotion before we, I feel bad. Who are you? Who are you? What is wrong with you? Could you get up, please? Right? Like, how I feel. Nobody asked you how you felt. You need to know who you are, and that's going to change your feelings. So he deals with identity before he deals with emotion. So who told you was naked? Because if you knew who you was, you wouldn't be scared of me. That's what God is saying. See, hold on. Can we be honest? Church people, can we be honest? Can we be honest real quick? You've been scared of God before. The fear of the Lord, and you didn't know what the fear of the Lord was. You were scared of the wrath. You thought he was going to open up the ground like he did with the children to swallow you up. Girl, don't say that for lightning strike. You ever heard that, right? Oh, God forbid, right? All the different stuff that we be saying, right? Then you were scared. You scared that he was going to go up there and go upside your head. You remember Jesus? He's talking to the disciples, and the people didn't want to listen to him in one place. And they were saying a bunch of stuff. And the disciples walked up, and they said, you want us to call fire from heaven like Elijah? We'll get them all loose. Come on, let's call fire from heaven. Jesus said, get behind me. You don't know what spirit you come from. Y'all go read it. He said, y'all get behind me with all this crazy talking about killing. We didn't come to kill. I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to murder these people. Because these people are me. And I am these people. See, I'm going to the next. See, the Holy Spirit does this. If you let him do it, he gonna segue. Like you can't, your notes will never be good enough for this. God bless you online, but it's never gonna be good enough for this. All right? Identity, before I'm gonna jump. We're gonna segue in a second. Identity, talking about the naked, just cause they knew stuff. All right, y'all just gotta go study that. All right, just study, you're gonna see a bunch of stuff in there. All right, but now, right? What was the last thought we had? I almost lost it just now. These people are me, and so you me, and I'm you, but we don't think that. Because you think you Ashley, you think I'm Montrell.
Yeah.
That's on our birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you was born over there, and I was born over there. I didn't meet you till,
right.
So we, how could I be you and you be me? You don't even understand that we're all together. What's on the inside of you? Huh? No, oh, I can see that. Yeah. What's on the inside of you? That's good. That's good. What's on the inside of you?
Spirit
of God. What, the Spirit of God on the inside of you? Me too?
Yeah.
So same, is this a different one? You got a different God than me? Same one? Oh. Ephesians 4. I'm going to teach y'all something. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. All right? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in what?
Love.
Endeavoring to keep the unity, if you got a Bible, underline unity. If you got it in a little iPad or whatever, highlight it. Endeavoring to keep, not get. That means I already got it. Oh, thanks. Y'all been teaching the class for 2 years. I ain't see that, all right? 3 years. I don't know how many years. Keep. In order to keep, if you love me, you
keep my
word. So that mean I got it already? Even if nobody, because I am it. Are y'all with this? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So endeavoring to keep. So I got it already. So we're a unit whether we know it or not. But I'm going to go further than y'all in ministry school. Are you good Christian church goers. I'm going to go further than unity. Unity of the what? Spirit. All y'all got a spirit, huh? Y'all got a spirit, huh? You all a spirit, right? In the bond of peace. Now this is tripping me out. Verse 4. Read it. Stop. How many bodies they got?
One.
And then what's the next part?
One spirit.
Anybody ever read this before? If you never read this slow. And read the next part. Verse 5.
One Lord.
How many?
One.
What's the next part?
One faith.
What's the next part?
One baptism.
Think about that for a minute. Verse 6.
One God.
One
Father of all.
Father of who?
All.
Oh. Carry the one. Father of all? One God and Father of all. What's the next part? And the next part? And the last part? That's verse 6, huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, verse 6 contradicts a lot what we believe in the church. Heathens and holy, saints and sinners. I touched the Holy Grail on that one. But I beg to differ. I said this in the first class we got here. So the biggest trick, we go back to the Genesis, the biggest trick that the enemy was trying to play was separation. Remember that? I want you to go off and hide. I want you to go off and try to figure it out on your own. See, those fig leaves, figuring out on your own, you hiding, all that represents a way that seems right to man. All that is all those things that seem, and I can't blame Adam, because at this particular time when his mind flashed, he actually thought he was doing the right thing. Which is a deception, though. So there's a way that seems, I mean, it looked right. But the end thereof is, it looked right to, all right, I need y'all to be 100 of me, all right? And I keep 100, all right? We're good people. Right? You ever talk about somebody before?
Yes.
Answer me.
Yes, sir.
You ever talk about somebody because they wouldn't like you?
Yes.
Right? And especially in church, like, somebody walk in, skirt is a little extra shorter, and nobody told her the dress code this morning. Right? He walked in, his hair was a little different. And even if you didn't open your mouth and tell your neighbor, you talked to your friend in there. Like, all right, you're like, hey, watch him. Watch him. Make sure he don't make no quick moves. What she came over here for? I know what she in here for. Right? It's separation. You thinking that somebody else and not thinking about them like you think about you. Are y'all seeing me?
Wow.
Are y'all flowing with me?
Yes.
So it was saints and sinners. Sinners. Them doggone heathens. And I understand. I understand what we say, but we have to be mindful.
Right.
You ready for this? I want you to write this down. There's a difference between distinction and separation. There's a difference between distinction and separation. Now, I know that that's Robin right there. I know I'm Montreal. I know we different people, but we the same. Doing others, you have them to love your neighbor how? He's talking unity. He's talking get back to the truth of who you are. That's what he keeps talking about that. I understand. She's a woman. I'm a man. But we the same. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. I understand the distinction. We can distinguish between Robin and Montrell, but we have to understand that we're not separated. We can never be separated. You can't separate from me if you wanted to. You can't do it. Because we're all connected. One God. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, all that. One God and the Father of all, who's above all, in all, and through you all. I can't separate myself. I can distinguish, but I can't separate. Here's the answer to racism. That's one of the parts of racism. We can see that my skin color is different than their skin color. That's fine. We can distinguish the colors in the color, the coloring box where the color's at, right? We can distinguish the color, but they're all in the box. And they all work together to make a new picture. I got so excited when I started realizing I can like mix the colors and then they get a new color. Ooh, I started coming up to comedy. I thought I broke the cheat code, but I don't need a green. I don't need. Right? What if we just work together? Right? And appreciate the distinctions the same. So now, the word sinner, right? Understand what it means. You understand what it means, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it's become a separation tool. There's a lot of words the enemy get on and call separation. And it becomes a separation tool. Ephesians 2 tell me, don't think. It wasn't too long ago.
Yeah.
You was lost in the world without a God. You didn't know who you were, right? But heathens. And so there's a self-righteousness and a false humility that comes because now I've been out the streets for 5 years, whatever the streets is. We all drove on the street here, all right? But I'm just not going to get on all that, right? Like, just been out the streets. But, like, you took, okay. But I've been... Wherever you was, well, I don't know, we all say, well, I've been on the inside. I ain't been in the world, right? All these different things we say, and they breed separation. You went to work in the world today, and that's exactly where you're supposed to be. You came here into the temple and prayed all day, you'd have been no good to nobody. This is the trick of church as usual. Because they keep everything in the four walls. Keep it in here. Don't let the spirit get out the doors. Out the doors. Keep it in here. No. Don't be around no heathens. Because they're going to take your anointing. Well, heck. I mean, I almost said hell. Well, listen. I said it now. Huh? Well, hell. Then. If they take my anointing, maybe it's going to do something for them. Ain't that what I want you to do? Ain't that what I, Lord showed me something earlier. Want me to show you something quick, something? The Bible's a story about you, right?
Yeah.
Your temple, you're the vessel, right? Remember the woman pouring the oil? And he kept on telling her, keep pouring? Yeah, you the vessel. And you just keep pouring.
Right.
And you keep pouring. Lord showed me something else, too. He said, you the water that turned into wine. You them holy vessels, too. All right, the Bible's a story about you, right? They'll find yourself. Jesus gets his hands on you and give you some instruction. And then you become something else new. You start fermenting. And you bless everybody in the room. You get me? You get me? What was I talking about before that? Because I'm all over the place. Sinners and saints. So I understand, but now it breeds separation. So now you've been out for a minute. They're going to take your anointing. You've been out for a minute, and now you feel better than the homeboy that you graduated with or the homegirl that you grew up with that didn't quite get it like you. Y'all know you do. Can we be honest? You feel better, don't you? You feel a little better than her. We're not going to answer that too quickly right now because it's one. But I feel like I'm doing a little better than them. But if they're doing bad, I'm doing bad. Let's average this out. Me and James in the business partnership, and we're supposed to be bringing everything to the table, and he keep eating up the money, and I keep and I got the money, but he keep eating it up, then the average of us two becomes what we got. Because we together. Or vice versa. So how can I win when somebody's hungry somewhere? See, we don't need philanthropy. That's a cute word that they come up with to make it seem like they're doing something other than the humane thing. What is humanitarian? What does that mean? No, just be. It should be the natural thing. Well, whatever you have, love your neighbor like you. So I can understand to distinguish, but not to separate. You get it? You're nothing but a trip away from being just like the one you're judging.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, when last time you got mad? Y'all, we deep. We deep now. I wasn't in the club. All right, but when the last time you got mad? When the last time you said something in your head? It didn't come out your mouth, but you said it up here. Since you think that you out them streets. Streets still in your head, though. Y'all get what I'm saying? And Jesus ain't condemning you about it at none of it. He said, I don't condemn you. Well, if there was somebody that can condemn us, it'll be Jesus. If there is somebody that can say, hey, you know what? You terrible. And I know you're terrible. And ain't nothing you can do about what I'm saying. Like you talking to the woman at the well, he said, yeah, I know you ain't got no husband. And the one you with ain't your husband. And woman, you don't know where you're worshiping at. And it was kind of like, yeah, yes, sir. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really, like, you right? Because you, right? And he still don't do it. Do you know you ain't got the right? In verse 7, right? But unto every one of us, number one of us, is one, as unity, right? But it's you one, right? But you one of us. See, you one of us. You're not one of one. You're one of us. Y'all get that? I'm just seeing this stuff, y'all. I promise y'all. I'm just seeing this stuff. Every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of what? Now, remember now, up further in verse 4, he's not really saying saints and sinners. So now I gotta assume that the one God who's Father of all, above all, and through all, and in you all, right? In verse 7, context clues, right? We learned in our last class, living by the book, right? And I'm to assume that when we get to verse 7, we still talking about the same people. He's above all, in all, through all, right? Still one law, one faith, one baptism, right? Still, and so now, but every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everybody got the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Which men? Oh. But do y'all see this? Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is up is the same also who ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill. How many?
All.
How many things?
All.
Verse 11. Read. Hold on, wait. How do you say that? Read again.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Verse 12.
For the perfecting of the saints.
Number one. Perfecting of the saints, right? Number one. What's number one? What does that mean?
Maturity,
wholeness, purpose, mm-hmm. Right? That you're coming to understand what's the point for the perfection. Now you got to realize what all of these things came in for the perfecting of the saints. So the maturing, the wholeness, the purpose, right? What's the next part? For the work of the ministry. Now what is the work of the ministry? The work of the passing out the perfection, passing out the purpose. You get it? That's ministry. Ministry is nothing. Listen, I know we get deep. I'm in the ministry. Everybody's in the ministry. I'm minister such and such. You minister such and such too. Listen, what does ministry mean? It is simply mean to pass out. Administer, the prime minister, he not a reverend. Are y'all with me for a second?
Right.
So it's talking about passing out. So the work of passing out, perfection. You know what passing out perfection really means, right? When I walk up to that heathen in that center and say, you know, you good already? You just don't know. He could be holding a cigarette. Which means what? Like, I don't even know what that's a sin at. You're just hurting your body. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. I'm breaking all these religious barriers, all right? All right? All these things that we didn't line up, you know? No, stop. Stop. You're breaking your own power by your judgment. He could be doing a thing. She could be doing a thing that's despicable to you. What they got to do with you? You know you're good already, right? Passing out perfection. What kind of witness that'll be? Somebody got to tell me, like, huh? What does it mean? Now I got an audience now. Now and I can't, when I get the audience, I can't go back to the normal thing. Well, you know you're a sinner. Say, no, stop. Question. How would you feel? Well, Mike, you ain't nothing but a sinner. You be kind of hot with me right now. I don't think you want to listen to me right now. And it's me saying it, so I know we got a relationship, right? But somebody walk up to you that you don't know. You don't know them from nobody else. You're a sinner. I'm going to sin more, too. Well, let me go ahead and finish my sins off, right? Like, right? Cynical, I'm not going to listen to you talking. No, we not what? We ain't going to talk about you. You call me a nigga.
Right.
Are y'all with me? Don't call me out my name.
Wow, my God.
We be doing it. You know you're a sinner, right? You know you might go to hell, right? You know, we saying all this scary, crucial stuff. Like, why we don't talk about heaven first? Like, why we don't talk about all the good stuff about you? Right? That stuff ain't nothing but stuff on them anyway. Work in the ministry for the edifying of the body. The body is edified first when the saints are perfected, then they pass out the perfection, and then the body, which includes the saints and the sinners, is edified. Till we all, verse 13, tell how many?
All.
Oh, coming to the, there go that U word again, unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we, all right, hold on, put there, here's one of the children talk to him for care about every wind of doctrine, by sliding men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie and wait to see, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's a part that they have to play and we have to play. Ain't no us and them, it's us. You get it? So, let me get this last one. Then. You can't make a body part work by cutting it off. I have some friends and I got some people I know that my aunt, before she passed away years ago, she had to have amputation, right? And the only reason they amputate, anybody know anybody that got an amputee or whatever, like the only reason they do it because the blood is not to that body part. So, here we go. So, the cutoff is not the way to make the body part work. Get the blood to flow.
Yeah. Oh,
the blood of Jesus.
Wow.
How the blood flow? The work of the ministry. You passing out the perfection. People just don't know, y'all. That's it. They just don't know. We'll pick up next time.